can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Okay, now Don, we're going to, now, just before we get on to some more important topics, because we've got people, do you know, around the planet listening to this, because expat Aussies, so we've broken protocol, but we're going to do just some shout-outs now. Now, first of all, Don, MichaelChristianMenswear.com, who's now domiciled in Tasmania, is he cannot keep up. Australia Post have become his closest friend and ally. He is mailing out as we speak, working feverishly, packing hats and bucket hats and caps. Not sure about the T-shirts, but you cannot be serious caps. The signature caps that you signed on, at least they can read my signature. If you're going to do a signature on a cap, make sure that people can read it. Yours was just a squiggle. It was just a line, which probably is about as articulate and as erudite as you get. But that particular cap, Don...
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to you.
Boy, but I've been upstairs.
No, but no one knew that. And this was my point. When I went out to get the feather duster, you could...
You, how long you been...
You
could have... You're an idiot.
You could
have... How long you been going? You, that is the first sign of madness, talking to yourself.
I was trying to prove a point, Don. When I went out to get the feather duster, I said, see if you can carry a conversation for 30 seconds till I'm back. And you said, oh, no, I can't do that. Jack, oh, he's gone down the back. I can't think of anything to say, Jack. And I can hear Jack calling from upstairs. And then I came back and you absolutely went nowhere. So I have been speaking
about... So do
about,
you talk to yourself when
I've been speaking about shout-outs because I called out to you twice before I started recording this. I said, come down, we're about to start because we've got a guest coming in at 10:30. And so then I pretended you were here and no one would know you weren't here because... I can carry on a conversation.
Yeah, but you live by yourself, and this is obviously how you entertain yourself.
You live
talk
with?
By myself, and I get entertained by the television. I don't talk to myself. Obviously, you do.
Anyhow,
and that's the first sign of madness when you start talking to yourself.
Don, and we're into the shout outs now. So this is.
Can I give one to Luke Winning?
Well, hang on.
I shouldn't mention it. I just mentioned his surname. I shouldn't have done that.
Just a minute, Don.
He's lost. He's been on Cake Saves. Thing, what is it? Food.
Be fit food.
18 kilos in, I reckon, 4 weeks, 5 weeks.
18
right. kilos. That is two and a half stone in the old imperial.
Obviously, a porker to start with.
Well, he must have been, but he does like his beer of a weekend.
Ah, good.
Good. So he's got to get off the beer.
Yeah.
Now, so, Plugger told me that, Luke, so you've got to get off the beer. But that's an incredible effort, isn't it?
On Kate Saves Food, Be Fit Food.
On Be Fit Food,
not sure how
he has lost.
I wonder if they're putting the code in, you know, SAS.
Oh, jeez, we've got to clean this up. When are we get? We need someone who's a little bit... We are dinosaurs, aren't we?
And then James Stewart, oh, Dr. Yeah. James, on the medical-based, what is it you call it?
Oh, plant food.
Yeah, it's marijuana oil.
Are you still on it?
Yeah, I am.
I am too. I've got to get some more.
No, I am on it. And it's...
How are your fingers?
It's good. Excellent, Don.
Well, how are you gripping the golf club?
They're excellent. I can open and shut them. That's why I do it.
That's what you normally do with your hands.
No, but sometimes they click open and click shut.
They click.
Click. They
can you put your hands near the microphone so we can hear the click?
Right. Just a minute. Did you hear that? That's how they click. Did you hear that? Did you? You didn't think I could do that, did you? Right, so...
Oh, shit.
So, Don...
Are you on drugs this morning?
Am I? No. So, I'm doing the shout-outs. Michael Christian.
Oh, Michael, how is he? Somebody wants to contact us. He texts me.
Don, let me finish. Just let me finish a sentence, please. The hats that you signed, the caps, the You Cannot Be Serious caps, the baseball caps, you know, the signature
ones. Oh, he sold
ones.
Out of them.
He sold out of them twice, Don.
Twice.
And they have become collector's items. And
they're gone. You know, a couple have gone to Israel.
So much so, Don. These are the shout-outs from Mike. Mick Christian. G'day, Sam. Shout-outs. Paul Galley. Don't just Galley, G-A-L-L-I, from Delmar, California, never misses a podcast.
I think Michael makes these names up.
Well,
I think
I've
he sits
seen,
there,
I've
he's got nothing to do, he lives in Launceston, there wouldn't be anything to do in Launceston, he reckons he goes for a walk. I think he sits at home around...
He's got the Ayatollah down there.
Yeah, she's baking cakes.
Well, he would.
She makes very nice cakes too. I wouldn't mind one. Send one across,
so
Michael.
You think?
I think he just sits at the kitchen table and makes these names up.
Well, Don, I've seen. He sends me a list of who he sends.
Yeah, but it's all make believe, Johnny.
He sends me a list of who he sends these people to. I've seen the post because you've got to register them when you send them. I've seen the registered mail going to Delmar, California.
He's got nothing else to do but
sit in. You can't forge it from the post office.
He
gets the receipt.
Anyway, where else are we supposed to be going to? California?
He gets the receipt from the post office and the address is Delmar.
He's got a friend at the post office.
Never misses. But they can't fudge out where
they
send
his
mail.
His friend can do anything.
Anthony Gatt.
Where from?
From the Melbourne Zoo.
What? That was the fellow that's trying to contact us. Don't give him our number.
What
don't
do you
give
mean?
Anthony.
I'll give him your personal.
Don't you.
What's Andrew, Anthony?
Michael rang me last week.
Anthony Gatt.
Anthony Gatt wants to contact us.
About what?
I don't know. I said don't give him my contact
numbers. Hang on, he might have an interesting thing to tell us. About the Gat, about the zoo. Why didn't you
Well, let him converse with Michael Christian. Michael can
censor. Well, why did you automatically say, don't give Anthony Gatt your number or our number? He's from the zoo. That might be very interesting. He could tell us what animals are in there.
Well, we know.
What?
Elephant, monkeys, birds, butterfly. Have you been to the butterfly enclosure?
I have.
It's magic, isn't
it?
It
is.
I'd love a butterfly enclosure.
What?
I'd sit there.
Mm.
It's beautiful.
Someone said you got concussion once a butterfly landed on your head. That's a joke too, Don. That's how sensitive you are. So what do you think Mr. Gatty wanted to... Why did he want to speak to us from the zoo?
I don't know. I censored it.
Why did you censor it? He might have been a good guest to come on and chat to.
Talk
you've,
about
you've
what?
You've provided not one guest ever. I go through this every week. Who have you ever provided? None. No one. Marissa Reed from Ivanhoe East. Not East Ivanhoe. Ivanhoe East.
Is there a difference?
There is a difference.
What's the difference?
Oh, because it's like saying, I used to live in Goat Hill, but now we've renamed it Angora Heights. It's just having a bit of a...
Is it a bit like Target and Target?
Nothing like that at all, Don. It's Ivanhoe East is not East Ivanhoe. It's, oh no. It's Jason Vallelonga. Jason Vallelonga.
You sure?
Vallelonga.
No, you can't read. You're probably...
Vallelonga. Vallelonga. From Kingsley. Where's Kingsley? Western Australia. He's got hats and he's got signature hats and he's got everything. Gregory Ziders. Gregory Ziders?
Where is he from?
He's from Edmond in Oklahoma in the United States
That's
of America.
That's two people we got from America.
I'm telling you. Gregory is a big fan of the podcast.
I wonder if he's Australian.
Hmm? Well, I reckon he probably would be because why would you listen to it if you're not Australian?
Exactly.
Because
you wouldn't understand the sense of humour, would you?
It's not the understand the sense of humour.
What if he's a friend of Blanksy's?
If we talk about topical things that in a country that he used to be live in, it's more entertaining for him. It's more relevant. People
a bit of nostalgia, do you think?
Well, of course, Don. Of course. And I want to send now these are my shout outs. And I have a reason. I went to the Melbourne City Council because I had not a complaint. I did have a complaint about a parking ticket I got.
Why didn't you take it up with their friend? She's been on the podcast.
Who's our friend?
Sally Capp.
Well, I indirectly did. I wrote to the Mayor's Department, Lord Mayor's Department. That's who it says to write to. And I had a query, not a complaint. I had a complaint, but a query about a parking ticket I got. So I exchanged emails with the address I was given, and they said no. They wouldn't rescind my parking ticket. Now, just before I go on, I don't want you to think because I write in and want a parking ticket rescinded, there was a misunderstanding and I couldn't explain it personally on the email to my satisfaction. So I went in. On the off chance, I could speak to a woman who signed her name on the bottom of it called Caroline. And Caroline came out to speak to me and she was so helpful.
Oh, great.
And this is not a suck job. This is not blowing wind. This is, I explained that it was a misunderstanding. I won't explain the details as to why I got a ticket. And she said, yes, she said, all right, I'll accept that.
Was that on the ground floor at the town hall in this tree? It used to be the tree.
Yes.
I was an employee of the city council and...
Were you a traffic policeman?
Well, I used to look after bylaws. Bylaws used to be in, that comes under traffic. But if you had a complaint, you usually went to the ground floor.
So you worked at the Melbourne City Council under bylaws.
I can tell you that the Lord Mayor's Department is on the second floor.
Well, I wasn't. I went to the traffic place. And
well, that used to be in Little Collins.
Caroline came out and said, I explained why I got a ticket, and she said, yes, that's a bit ambiguous what you've said. I tell you what, she said, is a show of good faith, and I don't want you to think that's because it's me. In fact, I think it was. It wasn't because of. In fact, I would have thought rather than let it off because it's me, she would have insisted that I get a ticket, but she said, no, that's a reasonable explanation, and she said, I will rescind it, but don't.
Do it again.
You must understand why you got a ticket in the first place.
Do you understand why you got the ticket?
So what I'm saying is the Melbourne City Council Employee of the Year is Caroline, not because she saved me the 112 or whatever the ticket was, but she took on face value what I said and she accepted it. So I want to send a shout out to her. This is diplomacy. This is your council.
Well, that's coming from Sally Capp.
This is the council. I'm a ratepayer. This is looking after their constituents if they think it's warranted. And I can also give a shout out to a person called Heather. I presume that's
at
a woman.
At the council as well?
No, at the Port Phillip Council.
Oh, shit, you're in a bit of trouble. That's the St Kilda Council. Is that St Kilda?
That's the people who don't move on the compost heap that is still lying.
Don't start. She was there again this morning.
I know. The compost heap is still there.
Don't use those words.
Well, the parasite.
No, just a lady.
The person who is taking the electorate for a ride by clogging up the walkway, using all the facilities there, and I've been past twice, and on two occasions they've had a Mica ambulance out there talking to her.
I know that. Yeah.
Tying up Mica ambulance time and the people, the medical people, because this woman, she just lies there, and the council, this is the Port Phillip Council, Heather, who is in the traffic division of the Port Phillip Council, was very, very good because I spoke to her about another matter and she was very, very helpful. But this is not speaking to her. This is the mayor of Port Phillip should actually go down and say, this is a joke, Dale. get your ass off the footpath and stop taking the time up of the Mica ambulance people who have to come down on a regular basis to see why your health is deteriorating because you lie on your ass smoking and doing nothing else and you're in the way of people with dogs and kids and people who are visually impaired who can't see you and trip over you and you use up
She's
all...
She's not that bad, but it's...
She is that
it's
bad.
Not, it's not a good look.
Ah, oh, yeah, well, you're cutting us some slack, are you?
I drove past
you're
her this
morning.
You're
cutting us some slack?
Yeah.
You are you?
Well, no, she shouldn't
You're
be.
Not cutting us some slack.
No, she's not taking up that much. You can still go around, but it's not
You
right.
still have to step around her.
Well, she's now kind of...
What, Don?
She's not across the road. She's running... Oh, she's not across the footpath. She's running with the footpath. So you can,
navigate
around
I
her.
See. So you've got to... Instead of walking right round, and now you just only have to step a couple of steps around.
Or go left or right.
And if you've got a pram, if you're wheeling kids in a pram.
Well, you can go, you can.
Yeah,
get
they have to push
There's
them into the gutter and then just pull the pram back up onto the footpath, do you? You are. It's God, Don. I don't mind you being the devil's advocate, but come up with something that's sensible. She is a pain in the ass.
You don't even know her. She might be a very nice lady.
As a matter of fact, I had someone go down and interview her.
Yeah, I know. That's your agent.
Yes.
That was a couple of years ago.
It was. It's a couple of years. She'd been there for 2 years. And she said she's lying there saving up money to buy an apartment.
Really?
Yep, that's what she said.
No, that's bullshit.
I've got it on tape. She's saying
not,
those
she's
words.
Gonna, she's not going to buy a bloody apartment.
Of course she's not, Don. She's playing everyone on a break. You don't tell me you're that gullible.
Listen, what do you do Sunday morning? I watch a show called Insiders on the ABC. Do you know it?
No.
Anyway, it's quite informative, it's political. There was a bloke on there last week, a reporter. They have different reporters coming in. I caught his name as Jack. I reckon he was really rude. David Spears is the host. And he's on his mobile. Can you believe he was on his mobile phone? They have three guests come in each week. And Jack was one of the guests sitting on the couch. David Spears, the host. And Jack is on his mobile phone looking at his texts in between questions. Can you believe that?
He might have been getting some information on the question that was asked.
Well, I don't
about,
think
that's... He might have been Googling some facts so
that
he
you can
he
misconstrue
could...
it. I misconstrued it as being rude and looking at texts because
sure,
that's what normally people do.
I'm sure he wouldn't be reading random
texts. Oh, well, you
texts.
Don't know, do you?
He might have been... asking for some facts and was getting
well,
some information.
Oh, well, it wasn't a good look, let me tell you.
Sorry about that. Why didn't the host say you're not on the...
Well, I would have. David Spears didn't bat an eyelid
well, maybe
at
because
it.
He realized,
I think he was polite.
Maybe he realised he was actually doing some fact-checking so he could add to the conversation,
know.
Don.
I don't
That's
know.
That's correct, you don't know.
And the other thing watching ABC, they were doing a show on wind farms, the increasing number of wind farms around Australia. Can you remember a few years ago the bad publicity wind farms got in Western Victoria? Yep. People were saying they were getting cancer or they couldn't sleep.
Killing birds.
And all the rest of it.
Noise.
And they, you know, farmers are now getting up to, or these people in northern New South Wales, getting up to $30,000 a year rent to put one of these farms, turbos or wind farm, with, what do you call them? Props, propellers, what do you call those things?
Turbines.
Turbines.
Wind
on
turbines.
They get $30,000 for one of them a year rent.
Yes, mm.
Yet there's no mention of the problems they had down in Western Victoria. So what is the truth with regard to these wind farms?
The truth would be that the people advocating them lie about their...
What, the people in Western Victoria?
The people who advocate them, the power people, lie about the deleterious effects they have on the community or the bird population because it's a bit like the bomb, but... Bureau of Meteorology that lie about the statistics about the climate. People only give out information that they want you to have and don't give you the other side of the story, Don. That would be absolutely the case. And talking about, because they're doing this to try and save carbon emissions, have a listen to this. This is how completely dishonest and corrupt the people who push climate change are. They said, now wait for this, Don, They said in Major League Baseball, there are more home runs. Can you believe this? There are more home runs being hit in Major League Baseball because the climate is now warmer and the ball travels further through the air, and therefore it's clearing the stands or clearing the fence where the they say they're hitting them further into the stands because of climate change. And someone said, really? Is that right? Has there been any more home runs hit this year than 50 years ago? And they said, well, we haven't quite got the statistics about that, but we're saying the ball goes through the air further because of the warmer weather. And they had not one statistic to back it up. They are speaking absolute shit, Don. This is what happens. You have people who are so biased and so dishonest just speak the narrative on a subject that they want you to have and don't have any other point of view because they are pushing their side of the story. Can you believe home runs are going further now because of the warmer weather?
Well, I did my thing for climate change on the weekend. I went and bought an electric fence unit. Electric fence unit.
So that people touch it, they get a shock.
No. To keep the animal, my horses, away from the hay. But it was solar. Solar. Yes, so I thought I'd do the right thing and get a solar unit. Do you know I was going to swear then. It rained over the weekend and no sun came out.
That's right.
And I thought, what the fuck? And then it dawned on me. If you hook your house up to solar, what happens in winter?
What happens if the horses wanted to wander over to get the hay during the night?
No, it's got a battery in, but I had to charge the bloody thing. I had to get the battery. It's got a battery in, so it will work at night. It's got 4 hours, 5 hours or something of battery. It's a lithium battery, so it'll last.
Why didn't you charge it up when it would start to rain?
I said there was no bloody sun, you idiot.
No, so why didn't you charge the battery up when it started to rain? You said you charged it up with electric.
No, I didn't. You.
How?
The rain started. There was no sun. Yeah. So how do I charge the bloody battery?
Well, you said that at night time you charge the battery up.
No, if the sun comes out, it will charge the battery. So the battery will take over and power the unit through the night.
So you're saying it's not very effective during the winter.
Thank you.
No, well, that's what you're saying.
So you can only use this bloody electric fence through summer.
So did you see the picture on the same track, Don? Did you see the picture of the cars lined up in Gundagai coming back for the Easter break from Sydney? There were 15 electric vehicles, Teslas, lined up waiting to charge their batteries at the only two power stations.
You're joking.
There were 15.
It takes you half an hour, doesn't it, to charge your battery?
Took them.
One car, isn't it? Half an hour?
There was a minimum. There was a maximum time you were allowed to charge your car up of 40 minutes. So if you were sixth in line, 6 4s are 24.
You're there for nearly 6 hours.
Nearly 6 hours. This is the hoax. Shit. The whole ridiculous.
Anyway, notion. I thought I'd do my bit for the bloody, climate by buying this solar unit. God.
Yep. So now we're getting on to, I wanted to mention that we did the shout outs. I wanted to mention this now. Nova Peris said, which I've got a feeling you and I certainly wholeheartedly agree with, that if you are caught shouting racist comments at people who play sport, or anywhere really, but she was talking about sport, AFL, anywhere, or you make racist comments on the social media platforms, you should be banned for life.
Exactly.
We agree with that, Don. We agree with that. But by inference, we were accused of being racist and vilifying people, a person. We were accused, and my point of saying this is, who is the arbiter who decides if you are being racist or vilifying someone? Because I'm going to say this again, and if you roll your eyes up at it, fair enough. But I will never get over this. Michael Sheehan, who sat here with us one day, and you and I discussed the most legitimate subject ever of Nicky Winmar's Because the anniversary of that is coming up, the 30-year.
No, it's now. Celebrating it over the weekend or something?
Anyhow, we were accused of being racist or vilifying someone because we had an extremely legitimate conversation about why he lifted his jumper. And a lot of people thought it wasn't about what it was suggested. It wasn't about his skin colour. A lot of people... And we said to a man, because there was three of us and we're men, Michael Sheehan said the only person who would know what he meant was the person himself, to which we wholeheartedly agree, and we still do. If he said that's what it was about, that's what it was about. But no, we were taken to court. We were charged with vilifying someone because we dared to discuss what a hell of a lot of people thought it was about, and they thought it wasn't about what he said it was about. We said, if he says it is, that's good enough, and we accept it. We got fined for that, and we were thrown under the bus. We were thrown under the most ridiculous, trumped up, in my opinion, case ever. We were thrown under the bus by the virtue signalling boss of the AFL, who thought, I'll make myself a big, I'll feign indignation about what these people were speaking about. He had no idea what we were speaking about, but jumped on the bandwagon to belt us. You, who have done more for this game than most people, you saved the club that you play for from disappearing. I played 300 games. Mike Sheehan's got a room named after him for a tribute to journalism, and he threw us under the bus for daring to discuss a fairly controversial incident, which we agreed with Winmar, but still were fined. Yeah. And I'll never, ever forgive that man for being just a grub, by being a buffoon, by throwing us under the bus just to show how virtuous he was, just appeasing his own white supremacy.
Did you see the photograph of the St Kilda players who participated in that game? I think it was last week, lifting their jumpers. They were sitting in a football pose, you know. Nicky Winmar was in front with his arms crossed. They were about, they all mimicked him lifting the... reverse racism? And also, there's a hypocrite in that photograph too. Now, and I'm not talking about Nicky Winmar.
No, well, I'm not sure. Okay,
there's a hypocrite lifting his jumper and pointing.
Okay, well, so all that's fine. If they want to do that, that's fine. But to take us to task for having that conversation, and so much so that if people wanted to listen to that conversation just to see how bogus our charge was, they're not allowed to, because we were made to take it off the platform just so people couldn't say, shit, what was wrong with that discussion? I'll never forgive that man for just using us to further his own pathetic agenda. Now, so
anyway, I was just upset when I saw that photograph, because they're smiling, and I thought, are they serious?
So,
is this a serious matter? Wouldn't you wouldn't be smiling?
So here's the extension of this.
I don't understand it.
Here's the extension of this tiresome, boring ritual of welcome to country. I'll give you two examples. A friend of mine went to the comedy festival, and before it started, the lights went out, and then they came on, and there was a welcome to country dance or something. He said it went on for so long, he thought it was part of the act. He said, how long is this going on? Welcome to country at the comedy festival. And then, to cap things off, a woman, I presume it was a woman, I don't think it was a man, brought the baby in. There's a baby in there that started screaming and crying, so much so that the bloke who was doing the stand-up actually couldn't concentrate on what he was saying. And in the end, he said, excuse me, he said, I think it would be about time to take the baby out, which the person did. Fancy having the selfishness and the pompous and arrogant bullshit of bringing a baby to a comedy festival or any show, the pictures, if the thing's going to cry, this wasn't a child, this was a baby. You would reckon it was probably going to, and as soon as it did cry, wouldn't you think you'd get up and take it out? No, he had to say, I think we should take it out by now, and out she went and everyone applauded. So that's that. And secondly, Don, this is another boring thing that they keep battering around us and propaganda. The Bells Beach. I used to surf at Bells Beach when it was
Did you walk across when it was? You had to go across
Pip
a farm.
Pip McNaughton used to own it.
Yeah, you had to walk a track. Wasn't there a track?
He actually was the traditional owner. Pip McNaughton owned. That's the track.
Yeah, but did you surf it when it was as rugged as
I did in the late 50s?
How did they discover it? How did they discover Bells? That fascinates me because it's a farm.
Well, someone would have been...
Oh, geez, who's that?
Someone would have been standing on a cliff and thought, gee,
yeah, but it was somebody's farm in the middle of nowhere.
I'm telling you how fucking... Jesus Christ.
Don't blaspheme.
Someone like Pip, who owns it, he is the traditional owner. Don't worry about anyone else. He might have been standing on a cliff out in his farm and thought... Shit, look at the
wave. I wouldn't mind surfing that wave.
Holy fucking hell. He might have been standing on a cliff looking out and thinking, gee, those waves break from that right-hand cliff to the right. It's only a right-hand shore break. It's not a left-hander. And he might have thought, shit, that's interesting. Why don't we go down and see if we could... That's how it would have started.
Did you ride it?
I did.
What size board?
A board, 9.5. We've been through all this.
Hang on. You 12'6" weren't they?
You asked me what size board I used to ride. 9.5.
Here's our guest.
9.5. He's gone. Walked past the window.
Can you fill in?
So I'm just going to tell you this quickly, Don.
Can you
so
fill in?
I was watching. Yeah, I was watching. I was watching the presentation of the Bells Beach trophies. And you wouldn't believe it. The three surfers got up on the stage and what happened? People came out and did a dance, a welcome to country dance at Bells Beach. Is there any limit to how cringeworthy you can get the welcome to country that goes on and on and on?
Did they ring the bell? They ring the bell.
I turned it off.
No, the bell. Bells Beach. You ring the bell when you win the tournament.
I wish someone would ring your bell, Don, because you're completely fucked. In fact, you got ringing in your head, I reckon. So there's another cringeworthy example of actually ramming it down our throat when we are all one people. Could we all say...
We get off the political shit.
I know, mate.
But now, listen, I went to the football on the weekend. Shush. I went to the football on the weekend, local football, and the AFL is getting all these accolades for so-called promoting football over in Adelaide and taking it out to Mount Barker and all the rest of it. The YCW, which is a team that plays in the Mornington Peninsula League, plays at Frankston YCW, cannot raise an under-19 team. And all the teams on the peninsula are having the same problem. Why doesn't the AFL do something about reducing it from under-19 to about under-17, whilst the kids are still at school, at least you've got some control, or under-18, they're still at school, because these boys drift away, especially when you're in the country, from the football club, and it's not helping. It's been going for a number of years now, and the football clubs are really suffering, and I would say the participation rate at a country level, as far as football is concerned, is declining.
Would you?
Yes.
Good.
And they talk about promoting the game, grassroots, taking it to Adelaide and whatever else. They are forgetting
about
the grass.
That's throwing the baby out with the bathwater, don't
they? They are forgetting about grassroots
where
football.
The feeder competitions come from. And could I just – our guest has arrived. So just quickly, isn't it great? We've got Lydia Thorpe. Now, Lydia Thorpe, wasn't it fantastic that she went to a strip club at 3 a.m. in the morning and got into a fight and started slurring people and racistly abusing people? Now, they're the people we need to head up The Voice when a referendum comes.
She's anti-voice.
Yeah, wouldn't she be great, though? These are the people we need. People who go to strip clubs when they're senators, start brawling and start swearing
at people.
That's
not the first incident with
Lydia. No, that's right. So just before you're thinking about voting for The Voice, think about who might be part of it.
Are you saying Lydia Thorpe's part of The Voice?
Of course she was.
She's anti-voice. She's into black sovereignty.
No, she's not. She's not. She's part of The Voice.
No, she's not.
Jacinta Price is not part of it.
And Lydia
I don't think Lydia Thorpe knows what she's part of. And secondly, here's my take, and we're going to ask our guest about this, because, mind you, it's not a very... important point. I went round the tour of the MCG and saw the Shane Warne
hologram.
I'm just telling you something. Why? If you want to stage our game better, market it properly rather than taking it to Adelaide and having a gather round and going to Mount Barker. The best way to market our game is not let the players, I know I've mentioned this before, onto the ground before the game starts.
Well done.
I hadn't been into the rooms for a long time. The rooms are big enough to
kick
a football.
We didn't have a problem, did we?
Anything. There is no need to go onto the ground. The anticlimax of seeing your players, your team, straggle out in their tracksuits, do little drills and bumping and kicking for goal. When the game starts is when the players run onto the ground.
Exactly.
They're all warmed up. The umpires come out. They shake hands. They toss the coin and they get the game started.
But you're missing
one
other point.
If you couldn't work out that's how to promote a game rather than all the bullshit.
You're missing out some other point. The air or the sense of anticipation as to who is actually going to play on the ground, what position they're going to play. All this is the build-up. There is not a better feeling than that prior to an AFL grand final when they just hit the ground and that sense of anticipation is unbelievable.
Say no more.